Hey, I sure appreciate everybody listening to BPN today. This is Rick Gentry. I want to thank you for being a part of Preaching Sunday. And now I'm extremely excited to introduce Pastor Bob Nichols from Fort Worth, Texas. Here's Pastor Bob Nichols.
There's a verse that I discovered many years ago, and I go back to it so very often, especially in these days. The 11th division of the Psalms, and verse 3. I really would like to read verse 1, first of all. In the Lord put I my trust. In the Lord put I my trust. Trust is complete reliance upon the faithfulness of God. And then verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's a quick little verse that reads very quickly, but the meaning of that verse is a question that I think is one that needs to continually be answered by the heart of every sincere minister and believer. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What will it take to save our nation? You say America's too far gone. Well, Nineveh wasn't too far gone. And it was one reluctant prophet that finally obeyed God and spoke probably one of the shortest evangelistic crusade messages ever conducted. He just said, 40 days Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And said it with the anointing of God upon it. And it was heard even to the king's throne, and the king himself humbled himself in sackcloth and ashes and reached out to God. We live in a world where every value that we hold dear is under attack, especially every Christian value. Everything that a real New Testament, evangelical, Bible-believing church holds near and dear is probably more under attack than it has ever been. However, thank God there are some encouraging trends that we see, and we thank God for that. We thank God for that. A number of years ago, in one of our many trips that we've made to Israel, actually it was, I believe, the second trip that we made to Israel, I'm not going to preach from the points of that. I am going to refer to the points of that because it leads us to what I feel God would have us to say. It was right after lunch, and right after lunch is not your most alert time when you've just had a good lunch and you're on a tour bus and there's the rise and fall of the bus and you've already been to a number of sites earlier in the day. And so it's just not a moment when everyone's just really awake there for a little while when they first get back on the bus. At least that's my observance. Our tour guide, his name was Natan. It seemed like everybody was either dozing or out there somewhere. But I heard him on the PA system of the bus make a statement, and it was, you know, I don't know everything and I don't know every signal of God, but there are signals of God that I respond to immediately. And I heard a signal that I knew was from God. He said, you ask me how that tiny Israel can fight and win impossible battles, impossible wars. And no one said a word. He said, I tell you. And he proceeded, and I grabbed a piece of paper and started writing just as quickly as I could write. When the day was over, really, some of those points he didn't remember himself. he knew those points well. He knew those things that he spoke were accurate. But I realized that it was a divine moment when God was speaking. And you know, God has a way of doing that. Sometimes he'll test our alertness. He'll say a word or two to see if we'll listen to the rest of what he has to say. And if you listen to all of what he has to say, that's where some real breakthroughs come. He began to give these some 6 points. And I've shared these all over the world over these years, a number of years ago. It's amazing when you think of tiny Israel. 1948, was it May 14th, I believe, May 14th, that Harry S. Truman was, I guess you'd say, the lead internationally in Israel becoming a nation. His own political group of people in Washington, just like they would be at any time, said that he had lost contact with reality. They said, "You don't understand. This is just not a wise move to make. You should not do this." But God used Harry Truman in a very strong way. And Israel, 60 seconds after the British agreement came to an end, Mr. Ben-Gurion established the fact and spoke it, that Israel now had become a nation of its own. Before the day was over, Washington agreed with that. The United States was the first nation that agreed with Israel becoming a nation. Interesting, isn't it? And now in the day in which we live, we see a very significant move in the embassy what's happening there, going to Jerusalem. It's amazing how that Israel, as tiny as they are in comparison, our tour guide gave us this illustration. He said, you stretch your hand out and just the tip of one of your fingers is Israel, and the whole rest of your hand and fingers is the real estate that is under Arab domination. Just the little tip of your finger, and they want Israel to give that up too. But thank God, they say, no way. Amen. And they've held their ground in that. The points that Natan brought out, and I'm bringing this out to give an illustration of what's so very much in my heart. He said, number one, how does tiny Israel fight and win impossible wars? He said, God gave us this land. God gave us this land. Amen. And God set the boundaries in the Bible from the days of Abraham. And so it's been that way from the day of Abraham when God promised him. And you remember the promise, and we don't hate any race or internationality. That's not where I'm going at all. I'm simply saying that Israel is God's timepiece. And Israel is a very strategic part of this world's system. And the hand of God is very much on it. And it started with Abraham, who heard the voice of God so long ago, really. And we have the new covenants, and I won't go into that side of it. But they said that God, he said, God gave us this land. The land we have is the land that God gave us according to covenants that were made in the Bible long ago. Secondly, he said, we have the best weapons and we know how to use them. And of course, that's a known fact that Israel has fought and won impossible battles and skirmishes, and you remember when Egypt was going to just take the whole nation over, and God used tiny Israel to fight back, underdog all the way, except they had God Almighty as their strength. Thirdly, he said, we're more persistent than our enemies. We're more persistent than our enemies. We don't quit. We don't quit. And they haven't quit. He went on to say that we're fighting to protect our families, our children, our nation. And then he went on to say, we believe with all of our hearts that God is on our side. Now that's a strong one right there. All of these points are very strong. Romans 8:31 said, if God be for us, who can be against us? I remember in 2 Chronicles when Jehoshaphat went before God and he said, we don't know what to do. Have you ever been in that situation? Lord, I've been there so many times. Lord, I'm in a situation I don't know what to do. I don't have the wisdom to know which way to go at this point. God, we need your help. And he called the whole nation to fasting and prayer. And five major kings greatly outnumbered them at that point. But God gave them the victory. Let me tell you something. I've said it. God knows how many times over the years. Little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. And so he said, we believe with all of our hearts that God is on our side. Amen. And he gave a final point that I thought was so very, very, very strong. He said, we are ready to give our very lives, our all, our fortunes, even though they were very meager in those early beginning times. We're ready to give our lives, our all, to protect our nation. We're ready to make whatever sacrifice is available to protect our nation. In one way, you'd expect a minister to say this. You'd expect, I guess, any evangelical minister, or especially one that believes in evangelism and the winning of souls. But ladies and gentlemen, it's going to take that same kind of passion to save our nation. I want to say that again. It's going to take that same kind of passion to build the work of God again as it should be. I was just thinking the other night of so many blessings that God has given this ministry over these 54 years. We had, of course, the time when families were in. I wonder how many have seen our gym over at the school. Would you mind just holding your hand up? I'm not going to ask anyone. I wonder how many have not seen our gym next door. Would you just honestly, I see a number of hands, and I understand that because there's those with children or grandchildren would be the quickest ones to respond, of course, to that. Actually, that gym, I couldn't say it was jam-packed. I mean, the gym floor, we had an open floor there, the basketball court. But as far as the seating and teachers and students all around that room was filled with parents and grandparents and teachers and students. And of course, we were really excited about our marching band. Man, they were blowing and going. They were playing, and that was great. And then our cheerleaders, they do a great job. And I mean, I punched Charlie. I said, TCU, watch out now. we've got some real talent here. And as I was in that gym, I thought, this is a local church. 40 years ago, we didn't have this. 40 years ago, we did not have a school building. We had a church building, and our school was meeting in the classrooms. of that church downtown before the tornado destroyed that building. And to show you the value of where we came from, that thing has skyrocketed. I noticed in the paper yesterday it sold to some California, and they scarfed it. They said at the time of building, it was the best location in all of downtown Fort Worth. I talked to a French developer at that time, and the chairman of Pier 1 was so gracious to honor me in the groundbreaking and then midway and then the final ceremony. That Catholic brother had a great respect for this church, and to this day, in fact, they went to Israel with us. Marvin and his wife Elise went to Israel with us about last March. But as I looked at that building, I don't know, it was 120 million, something, I don't know, something like that. That's where we bought a church for $1.5 million. And then we bought an 8 acres next door to it for $850,000. So started out with $1.5 million and $850,000. That's where we used to be. And of course, the whole downtown, they said that actually the sale of that property, all of that transaction after the building was just destroyed and we had to do something with it there, it extended the downtown border from Henderson Street to the Trinity River. And with all the things they write about it, they somehow forget that there used to be a church there. But that's the way the press is. They're real open and they have a good memory about good things, you know. So we won't comment on that any further. We'll move further. But I was just thinking, here we are, 40 years ago, we started in fear and trembling. And we used everything that we could use. And God honored our school. The storm came, we lost everything we had in 44 seconds, including our school, or the place where the school was meeting. And now God has given us our own freestanding school. We had no gym for 22 years. Now we have two. You know, there's a lot to shout about around here. And I tell that to some people, and they look at me like they're brain dead. I've been there. I lived it. I've lived this thing for 54 years. For this period of time, and I know the price that has been paid, and I know the miracles that God has worked for us just to be sitting in this room today. I mean, this is not just another place, another meeting house. God Almighty gave us another place after the last place was destroyed by the storm. And I was just thinking, you say, well, what about that? Well, that school is part of our heritage. That school is part of the legacy of this church and this ministry. And the graduates, the cry of my heart, the prayer of my heart is that every student be born again. That every student that attends that school, there's always something that slips through the cracks in a church or in a school. You know, nothing's perfect except God Almighty. But we're believing, especially this year, every child that attends that school will be born again. And that they'll not only receive academic excellence, which they do. Our students are very well taught, very well taught. And for the last, I believe it's 3 or 4 years, almost every graduating senior has gone on to higher education. And I'm not saying I recommend every school that everybody goes to, but I mean that has happened, which is a very positive thing. Very positive thing. It shows that our school's doing something very right. Bible reasons why Israel has prevailed are reasons that parallel why we can prevail. America needs spiritual revival. You say, Pastor, I've heard you say that so many times. I want you to hear it until you know it better than I do. Our nation must have spiritual revival. we need more than just a building to meet in. And people come in and we sing our song, we do our thing, salve our conscience, and go out and have fried chicken, and we've done our thing for the week or for the last 2 or 3 weeks. There's a purpose. There's a God-given purpose in this church. I would not be standing here. I would not have continued. There are other extenuating reasons that I had no choice in continuing on for a while. But I would not be doing what I'm doing today if I did not believe with all of my heart that God has used us, and God is going to continue to use this church to make a difference in greater Fort Worth, the Metroplex, and even the nation of America. The stories are legion of God using one person. God used a Gideon who did not know that he could do what God enabled him to do. There was a Deborah. God uses women, and God uses young people. I believe it's 3 or 4 times in the Bible, a young man is an exact phrase that was used. God chooses oft times a young man or a young woman or a young Esther who dares to stand up and say, if I perish, I perish. I've got to do what I've got to do. Folks, it's going to take a greater passion in me, and it's going to take a greater passion in all of us for this church to rise to the next level. And that's the cry of my heart. The cry of my heart is not just, I thank God for this church, thank God for everything we've been able to do. Our track record, I think, is just supernatural in what God's enabled us to do over this period of time. Just thinking right now in Uganda, we have a 50,000-watt television station 24 hours a day, preaching, teaching, singing the gospel of Jesus Christ. In a church that has survived tornadoes, a church that has survived a $1 million fire when we first got here and burned out so much of our offices there, a church that has faced disloyalty that's unbelievable in a given period of time, and yet God's helped us to come through all of these things. God Almighty has brought us through. I said, God has brought us through. And I give Him the glory. Amen. And I think of location. Do you know, in all three places where this church has been, God has given us location, location, location. And that's a real estate expression. We were on West Berry Street, the main artery from 35 on up to TCU. Right there on the corner in a former post office building. And we had the first church sign. The sign is still up unless they've taken it down. But we've been a pioneer in so many ways. We had the first church sign. You change the letters. Well, like you see at the Lutheran church here on the freeway. That's the kind of sign we had. And it was a first here in Fort Worth for a church way back when we first started in 1964. When we moved downtown, we were again at the crossroads of downtown Fort Worth. I like what Dale Gentry says. He said, you used to be downtown, now you're uptown. You say, what's so important about that? Because literally this church is at the crossroads of not only greater Fort Worth, it's at the crossroads of the Metroplex. I mean, I know we're Dallas is a little further away, but life's too short to live in Dallas. You understand that? And that's a T-shirt from a barbecue stand, you understand. I didn't say that originally. But God has given us a location. God has given us a strategic location. And we're working now on getting our sign elevated, which is one of the things we had to deal with coming through the freeway. And it will be. We'll see that. And with God's help and God's power and God's grace, God has helped us to survive a devastating storm. a devastating storm, a miracle of God. And you know, our location is a miracle of God. I say this from what I listen to on radio and television and so on. You know, Calvary has a Holy Ghost Caleb pastor who still cries, "Give me this mountain." Excuse me, I had to slip that one in. That's right. But that's right. Caleb stood up and he said, "I have the same zeal as I had in the beginning. I ask for this mountain." And because he had a good faith report. Let me tell you something. Your words are so important. The success of the rest of your life depends on agreeing with God. We're supernaturally located at the crossroads of the greater Metroplex area. And then, if you've not looked, and I know you have, you can't drive without seeing it, there are thousands of new apartments. We've had a tremendous complex down Scenic Drive, and then across, it looks like they're building another city on the other side of the freeway. Every time I drive by, I see, it looks like... God knows how many more. I didn't know there was that much land where they're building. Amen. And my faith's on the line that God's literally bringing people across the street from us. Amen. We're supernaturally located. New apartments, condos, homes being built every day. Hundreds of people are coming into the greater Fort Worth area, moving here from all over America. And then I look at our church. You know, you ought to be a pastor and hear everybody's idea about music. Jesus. I mean, there's every kind of a desire, from a French harp to a harp, to a real harp, you know. Everybody's got a different, not everybody, but many people have different ideas about music. Thank God we've got good music. Amen. Praise God. And we have some of the finest musical instruments in the Metroplex. Amen. God, out of that tornado, gave us a very valuable piano there. That piano is that's a good piece of furniture. I'll put it that way. I just wished I could play it. Amen. Wish my music teacher hadn't turned me off when I was a kid, or I'd probably been able to play it. Anyway, moving right along here. But people are moving here. We have great musicians. We have it's interesting. People say, you know, Pastor, I don't know what we're going to do if we don't get a new roof. We got a new roof. I don't know if you've noticed, we got a new roof. And we've got a new paint job on all of our property. I believe the Church of Christ must have got a shipload of brown brick when they built churches back then, and so they were all brown, and so that brown is turned to match the color of the school now. And then there's new parking lot. Ladies haven't had anything tearing their shoes up. It's just a miracle. and then the lights, oh my, you come at night, it's just, the campus is beautiful. Praise God. Amen. And of course, those are material things. But you know, we have a staff core that is hungry for a greater outpouring of God's Spirit. We have a staff core that is hungry to see God do great and mighty things. We also have a church core that's hungry for God and hungry for a revival. You say, well, what's it going to take to break us out? You know, get us, if there's any kind of a rut, what's going to get us out of the ruts? You waking up. All of us waking up. All of us, just let the passion of God and the Holy Ghost, that all of a sudden what's happening here is one of the greatest things that could ever happen in your life. Amen. That what God is doing here, that what is at our very fingertips, is one of the greatest church opportunities in America. Amen. A few extra seats don't bother me, because I know fillings are coming. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what the average church does. They're too small, and then when things begin to grow, then they're landlocked and they can't do anything. We have room for some good growth and some good things to happen. New roof, new paint, new parking lot, new lights. I know you say, well, we need to renovate the auditorium. Just write me a check, honey. We'll get it done next month. I'm ready. But things cost money and things take time. But it's coming. It will come. But in the meantime, we can get people saved in this place. In the meantime, people can be healed. I was in a restaurant, and the wife of a very successful businessman in this city came over to me, and she said, oh, I've got to tell you something, Pastor Nichols. I don't attend your church, but said I attended one of your services, and you were praying for the sick, and there was something wrong in her body that the doctors didn't have the answer for. She said, I was desperate. And even after being prayed for, I think she's one of the last to leave the auditorium that night, if I remember correctly. But she said, Pastor Nichols, God supernaturally healed me that night. And it's gone. I'm healed. Thank you for the prayer of faith. We have a place where you can get healed. You can be saved. You can grow in grace. My. Praise be unto God. And you know, it's so important, the statement that I make. I make a lot of statements that are important. There's no shortage on sinners. There's no shortage on sinners. Everywhere you go, they're in restaurants, they're on airplanes, they're in apartments, they're in Oakhurst neighborhood. There are sinners everywhere that need Jesus. And we know Jesus. And we know how to lead people to Jesus. This church is a life station of teaching and training and sharing with people the Lord Jesus Christ. My. No shortage on sinners, but we need more people. Two things that would help as much as anything could help, even at this point, is we need more people coming. And there's some definite reasons why we've come through an area where we need more people. You know, sometimes there has to be an elimination for a healthy body. And I don't mean to be crude in saying that, but, you know, it's amazing. With Gideon, 32,000 showed up. But when it was down to 300, they could get business done. Read your Bible. It's in the book. It's in the book. 300 people. And God said, now I've got a core that I can work with. Now I have a group of people that can win an impossible battle, just like the tour guide told us in Israel and what had happened in Israel. So I'm believing God for more people coming. Invite people. Amen. We need more people not only coming to be a part of the church, but we need more people that are part of the church to come to church. You can't run a company without employees. You can't run a company without business. Someone's got to believe in that business. Someone's got to be there. Things have got to happen. And you know, there's a passion. There's a passion for a local church that hell can't stop. I said there's a passion. There's a God passion when you realize that you're part of something great, something good. You look at the New Testament, you look at the men that Jesus called, and when they got back to heaven, there's been many stories told about people asking Jesus, well, what did you leave the church? Who's in charge of the church? Those guys. Oh, no. Oh, no. We've been watching. Is that all? You know, those that slept in prayer meeting and those that didn't come to prayer meeting and those that, you know, they were human beings. But thank God they were filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And God began to change their minds and change their drives and change their dreams and change their abilities. Oh, I tell you, God's here to change us. We need more people coming, and we also need some financial miracles. We need some financial miracles. And I'm asking you to be a part of praying for that and believing God for that. I say it in a way kind of humorously, but I mean it with all my heart. I wished I had more money than I knew what to do with and could find a guy like me. I'd have more fun just being a part of what's going on here. I'm telling you, because you can see what God is doing. You can see what God is doing. Amen. I said you can see what God is doing. So as I was there the other night, I was just in the middle of all of this excitement and all that was going on in the school, and I thought, this is wonderful. But this is here because of a church. This is here because of the vision of a church. This is here because there was a pastor that believed in what's happening here tonight. We believed in that 40 years ago. We really believed in that before that, but we couldn't get the permits and we weren't able to do it any quicker than we were able to do it. As we look in the world in which we live, folks, Jesus is coming soon. When is he coming? He's one day closer than he's ever been before. According to Matthew 24 and other portions of the Word of God, the Bible very plainly warns us that everything we see in our world today, I'm going to say it and I mean it with all my heart, over 90% of the news industry is rotten to the core. Rotten to the core. Let me put it this way. Why do you say rotten? Because they don't believe in basic biblical values. The church is a joke. Righteousness is a joke. Lying has become epidemic. Who does tell the truth anymore in Washington? Who tells the truth anymore? I don't care. Doesn't make any difference what your political persuasion is. There's a spirit of lying that has laid hold of this nation. And people tell a lie when the truth sounds better. Oh, God, stir us. And in the midst of it all, why are we still here? Why am I still alive? Why are you still alive? My baby brother just passed away three weeks ago. He's my baby brother, though he's older than he used to be. I'm the oldest. Why am I still alive? Why has my life been extended in a family where long life is a gift from God on the male side of it? I never knew a grandfather. I never had a grandfather. I never even saw a grandfather. And I tell my own grandchildren, I said, you know, you have what I never had. I never had a grandfather. Didn't know what a grandfather was. They told me about a grandfather, and I had to learn that from watching it in the lives of others. Why am I still alive? Why are you still alive? Why are we still here? Why are we? Maybe you're here by accident. I don't know. Or maybe you just... You know, you say, well, I'll go to Calvary today for some other reason, whatever it is. But let me tell you something. There's a purpose in this house. There's a passion in this house. There's a mission in this house. There is a calling of God upon this house. And we're equipped to do it. I've got the spiritual guts to go for it when I have the wherewithal to do it. Amen. I'm not short on guts. I'm not short on spiritual guts. I'm still strong in faith. I had a minister call me the other day, a very impressive call that I received, and said, you know, I've heard you preach. He said, you still got it, Bob. You still got it. I said, thank you. And I've preached in his church, and he has a very good-sized church. He said, of all the preachers that have preached there, said, your ministry has been one of the strongest ministries in our house. And it's been some time since I've been able to preach there because I've had my hands full with other things. But I'm still alive and I'm still full of the Holy Ghost and I still have a vision and there's still fire in my belly and there's still a harvest to be reaped. And God's given us wonderful people. God's given us wonderful people to help us to finish the job that God's called us to do. It is incredibly awesome how that God has brought us through from starting with nothing, no backing, borrowed $1,000 from a Baptist banker to put exit lights in and pay the permits. And God Almighty has taken us from that humble beginning to where we are today, wherever it is. It's not all where I want it to be, but we're on the way. We're on the way. Hallelujah. And now I think we've got a better shot at it right now than we've had, and I don't know when. We've come through the storm, we've come through the fire, we've come through the water, we've come through crazy. And now, thank God, it's time for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. It's time for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. And you can get mad at me if you want to. Really, I'm old enough, I don't care about that one. But anyway, Fort Worth doesn't need just another church that's not going to win souls. This is a church that still gives altar calls. If we gave an altar call and nobody came, at least the opportunity has been given. And I am hard pressed. I've heard two in months of, and I don't watch television all the time, but I listen to some radio and see some television programs. It's amazing how many make a half run at an altar call and just melt like hot butter. There's very few altar calls like the altar call that's given at Calvary Cathedral International that follows through and gives people the opportunity of accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Hallelujah. Praise God. Matt, I just thank God for you, buddy. You answered an altar call, and just look what God's done in your life. And that's the story of so many lives. God can only do what we let Him do, but thank God you responded to an altar call. So what happens to people that respond to an altar call? If they believe God, they get saved. And if they get saved, their life is changed. And if your life is changed, you begin to act like Jesus, talk like Jesus. Amen. You become full of the Holy Spirit. And you become the answer to what our world needs, not another problem in the universe in which we live. So much anger, so much hate, so much rioting, so much craziness. Oh, it's time. I looked at some of the final photos of Billy Graham when he preached at Times Square. It looked like ants. It looked like ants all over an aerial view from Times Square when Billy Graham preached one of his last messages at Times Square. And I thought, oh God, the power of the gospel of Christ. They were not there to riot. They were not there to protest. They were not there to cause trouble. They were not there to destroy people or property. They were there to hear a man of God. Oh, thank God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Gentile, to the Jew, to the up and out, to every person. Thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise be unto God. So, that's just a little bit of the passion that's spilling over in my heart this morning. Folks, there's a world that needs what we know in this auditorium. There's a world that desperately needs. Not only does Washington need it, Texas needs it. The Metroplex needs it. You work with people shoulder to shoulder that need what is in this room today. And I'm believing with all of my heart, thank God, people cometh. Money cometh. Hallelujah. Breakthrough cometh. Revival cometh. Outpourings of God's Spirit come. We've seen them. We're not strangers to that. Oh, I'm so much at home in that. I'm so much at home in that. I'm not a stranger. I'm not a stranger to the moving of God's Spirit. But oh, I just say, God, you've done it before. Do it again. You've done it before, Lord. Do it again. It's the answer, the only answer to our nation today. It's the only answer. Someone used to sing, what the world needs is Jesus, just a glimpse of Him, honey. We need more than a glimpse of Him. We need to see Jesus. Oh, we need to see the power of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Two things I'd like to ask you to do in closing this service this morning. I want you to ask God if He'd have you to be a part of of just blessing the church financially this morning. And then I'd like you to stand with me and just join your faith with me. There's just a fire that's burning in my heart today. And we're going to have a final prayer together. Our musicians coming. We're going to have a final word of prayer together. But just put those, and you might put maybe one word that'd be more easily to get to. But ask God, just ask God what God would have you to do. To be a part of the breakthrough, to be a part of breaking out, breaking through, to see the power of the gospel do what only God can do. Praise be unto the Lord. You're sitting in a miracle zone. You're sitting in a miracle church. You're sitting in a church that has dared to do the impossible. Lo, through all these years. And just as sure as you plant seed, God will meet your need. Just as sure as you plant seed. This church loves people. We love people. We love our staff. We love the people that attend the church here. Hallelujah. Two things, just make it your daily prayer. Lord, I'm believing people cometh, and I'm believing money cometh. Amen. To see our church go forward. Praise be unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Oh, if you would, just ask God what He would have you. You know, Christian schools don't... When we started our school, a lot of churches thought Christian schools were money makers. I heard preachers say that. Yeah, they're going to help us finance our church. Well, wow, wow. The church wouldn't be, that school wouldn't be there if it wasn't for this church. Church, school after school is closing. And I'm not mean or mad, but a lot of people say, well, we got charter schools now, but they're not Christian schools. They're accelerated public schools. That's the only thing I can say there. I'm not being ugly or unkind, but they're not Christian schools. Amen. Well, I heard someone that had a Bible study when it was all over. Yeah, you better do it and run. But we do it on purpose. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We're not ashamed of the Holy Bible. You're not saved by living the Ten Commandments, but we're not ashamed of the Ten Commandments. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We're not ashamed of the name of Jesus. Oh, we're not ashamed of the name of our God. Just as God has brought tiny Israel from impossible circumstances, and they're still alive today. I believe one of the reasons America is still America is because we've been a friend to Israel. And we've been kind. And really, the U.S. is the greatest ally that Israel has. Really is. Well, praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for your giving. Just ask God what He would have you to do. It will help us so much at this point. It will help us so much at this point. All right, I wonder if you just come and stand with me for a final word of prayer. Amen. Now, my name is Bob Nichols, and I not only preach this message, but I believe it. I totally endorse what I've preached this morning. Amen. I believe it with all of my heart. Praise be unto God. Amen, amen. Thank you for just sharing a prayer with me here. We're doing well. You still have time to eat lunch? Let's lift our hearts and join your faith with me. Praise God, join your faith with me right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you see the potential of this place. You know what we've done in years gone by. You know what we've done in years gone by. But Father, the best is yet to come. I join my faith with those that are standing with me now, that if the foundations be destroyed, the righteous can lift up a standard in the name of Jesus. We'll keep on preaching and teaching and singing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for greater victories. We thank you for greater victories, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Ah, you've been a wonderful audience to preach to today. Thank you for being so attentive, and thank you for being responsive to the Word of God today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe you could just sing with us as we sing it. I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting and finding in His great love. From all who are I feel no alone. One more time, would you sing with us? I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting God.
You've been listening to Pastor Bob Nichols from Fort Worth, Texas today on Preaching Sunday. Really appreciate everyone listening. For more information, contact one of our team members at breakoutprayernetwork.com or visit us at bpnradio.com. Have a great day.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry, president and founder of Breakout Ministries, reminding you that you are listening to Preaching Sunday here on bpnradio.com across America and around the globe. For a complete listing of all of our preachers here on Preaching Sunday, go to bpnradio.com. And for more information on how you can preach each week, contact Rick Gentry at rickgentrybpnradio@gmail.com. rickgentrybpnradio@gmail.com. To support Breakout Ministries, go to bpnradio.com and click the donate button. Thanks for listening to Preaching Sunday here on bpnradio.com. Stay tuned for another sermon on Preaching Sunday.